I am from San Francisco State University in California, and I'm going to talk about academic detailing in California. So there's my contact information. So what I'm going to do is to say a little bit about what we were doing in California on academic detailing before the ARRA, and then describe the National Resource Center for Academic Detailing. It's known as NARCAD. And they got one of those ARC grants that Jerry mentioned when she was talking about the ARC program. I'm currently myself working with NARCAD in California to help promote academic detailing. And we've been at it now most of this year, and I think I've got a few lessons based on what happened over the course of 2011. So we've actually had academic detailing in California for a long time through our enormous Kaiser Permanente system. That is the preeminent HMO in California, covers 6.6 million people. One of the peculiarities about Kaiser Permanente is they know that when they cover people that they may well be enrolled in Kaiser Permanente for their entire lives. So as opposed to most insurers, Kaiser Permanente has to think about long-term costs. For them, prevention makes a lot of sense, because if they save money in year one, it may save them, if they provide a preventive service in year one, it may save them a lot of money 20 years later, and that's still money to Kaiser. So they have a particularly long-term view on healthcare costs. And so academic detailing has gotten well established there. In the state of California, there are 50 academic detailers who work for Kaiser full time. That's their job, doing just what Jerry described in New York. The way they do it is it's a promotion from pharmacist at Kaiser. So if you're a Kaiser pharmacist, you want to move up and, you know, have a higher pay and a nicer job, you apply for an academic detailer, and that's another step up. Kaiser has a statewide director for the North and a statewide director for the South, and 50 folks that are out there all the time meeting with Kaiser physicians, talking about prescription drugs. So we tried to get this through the California legislature, as they did in New York in 2008. We ran a bill in 2009 to try to set up academic detailing. We asked our major public medical university system, the University of California, we asked if it would be establishing a couple of detailing pilot projects in two counties. We were targeted by the Pharmaceutical Manufacturers Association of America and a number of drug maker giants. They made a full court press, and we only made it through one committee. We got killed in the first fiscal committee because California was having a fiscal crisis, and so it's a real easy way. It was and is having a fiscal crisis, so it's a real easy way politically to kill an idea, to just let it get to the fiscal committee, and then, you know, unless you have an incredibly compelling reason or some very powerful friends, your bill's dead. So we tried it, the legislative route, didn't work. So then in the next year, ARC funded the National Resource Center for Academic Detailing. And again, we have Jerry Avorn, who is with this program, along with his colleagues Michael Fisher and Tish Chaudhry, as the effectively the primary investigators. Their mission is basically to facilitate the establishment and improvement of academic detailing programs. They've worked with the folks in New York already on their program. They are not to run the programs themselves. They are not to do the detailing themselves. They are simply to be a catalyst for other people to get it going. That's the concept behind NARCAD. So what they do then in that context is they are funded to provide assistance in program planning. They're funded to provide assistance in evaluation. They have training for academic detailers, and the folks from the New York Prescriber Education Project went up to their last training. I think it was in the spring. They have another one this month, actually. They do them at Harvard, and it's cheaper to bring everybody there than to have the NARCAD people go around the United States doing separate training. So they're doing it based in Boston. They also have funding to develop materials for selected conditions. Offhand, I recall that diabetes is one of them, and I forget the other two. But they specifically are developing materials on three conditions and the treatments that are appropriate for them. They are also available to do needs assessment for plans that are considering academic detailing. And so what that means is they can come to a plan. I mean, you have to talk to payers. I mean, that's bottom line here. What you've got in New York is the Medicaid program, basically, who's paying for this effectively. That's who's funded it. And it's the same thing in California. We have to go to people that are paying for health care. Those are the ones that are going to pay for this. So when health plans want to consider this, NARCAD is available to help them to take a look at their prescribing patterns and see what's going on, see if possibly, well, in diabetes you have the issue of Januvia versus metformin, and which you see it in New York, you see it everywhere. You know, the recommended first treatment is metformin, and many people on Medicaid programs all over the United States get started on Januvia. So if you look at a program and you see a whole lot of Januvia, you have an indicator that there may be some room for improvement. So they look at patterns like that for selected conditions. Then they identify if they see what appears to be less effective or less safe prescribing for the plan that's considering something like academic detailing. And then, based on that, they can recommend more safe and effective prescribing. And as I say, either a pharmaceutical or non-pharmaceutical. Where this has come up in California is on the issue of osteoarthritis. One of the people that we're going to talk about in a minute or two is seeing what they think of as a lot of inappropriate surgery for osteoarthritis. They see a lot of back surgery. And they're concerned that people who are getting these back surgeries may not be the safest and most effective treatment. And so in California, we may quickly be looking at a non-pharmaceutical treatment because it's a major concern to a major payer. They have identified this as something they are worried about. So as I said, it's not just pharmaceuticals we're talking about here. And in New York, they're also quickly finding that they're branching out into non-pharmaceuticals, as I understand what Jerry just told us. So NARCAD in California, we are now working with three major payers in the state. Our Medicaid program is broken up by county. We do not really have an effective statewide Medicaid program. It was broken up many years ago, and it's run at the county level. Now, the health plan of San Joaquin covers a large area of the North San Joaquin Valley. As you may know, California, we have a coastal region, you know, San Francisco, Los Angeles, San Diego, and then we have a large, very highly populated interior in the north. It's the Sacramento and the San Joaquin Valleys. Stockton is the principal town in this area here. There are a lot of people, there are a lot of poor people in this part of California. And so the North, the health plan of San Joaquin covers 115,000 people. They have FQHCs, they have a hospital, public hospital. It's a large program. They're particularly concerned with diabetes. One of the big concerns they have is, and I'm like Jerry, I'm not a physician, but you get pulled into these meetings and these doctors start talking, and at some point you've got to raise your hand and say, please, what are you talking about? So, because they kept talking about an A1C test. What is an A1C test? So an A1C test, as I understand it, indicates the level of blood sugar. And as I understand the guideline, if you get a reading of 9 or above, you should be getting to insulin. But what happens is when a lot of people get this news from their physicians, you know, it involves needles, they don't want to go to insulin, maybe they could just get some more pills, there's an exchange, and they leave the office without an insulin prescription. And then they get diabetes worse, and then it turns into, you know, every possible medical expenditure you can think about, all the way out to dialysis, which the plan has to pay for. So the plan would really like people to get started on insulin, you know, when it's medically indicated. So that is all the discussions I sat through with medical directors. That's my take home as to what they were saying. They were saying a lot of other things, but that's what I recall was A1C test, people over 9 not starting insulin. This is a huge problem. And the number of people with diabetes in the health plan of San Mateo, which is not far away, 40% of the people enrolled in the plan have diabetes. It's an enormous epidemic. I had no idea how extensive it is. So it's expensive both numerically in the number of people involved and in the costs that go with the treatments if people are treated poorly. So at Health Plan of San Joaquin, we have selected a staffer to be the healthcare educator. This person is going to the NARCAD training this month in Boston. And one of the interesting things there was meeting with the physicians. Our first thought was to send a pharmacist, because they have pharmacists on staff, and that, you know, it's what they're doing in New York. It seemed like the logical thing to do. But we weren't really clear that, you know, the pharmacists, you have to go meet the physicians and they have to like you. And it wasn't clear that that was going to be how the exchange would necessarily go. They knew they had a nurse on staff that seemed to get along with all the physicians. So we decided that the best person to train and send would be the nurse. So she's the one that's going to Boston this month, because it seems like a lot of what's involved is you know, getting cooperation from physicians to sit through the meetings and get the information. So NARCAD is developing, because diabetes is one of the areas where they're funded to develop materials, is developing the materials. And so this should then start early next year in this area of northern San Joaquin County, or the north San Joaquin Valley. So we're rolling. And of course, you know, this is a precedent. If this works well for one of the many large Medi-Cal plans in California, there are many others with progressive leadership and very thoughtful directors to whom we can go next. So this is a pilot that then could be a basis of extending this kind of training across the state of California. Another place that we've gone, California has a public insurer for workers' compensation. It's known as the State Compensation Insurance Fund. They are called SCIF. They have about 20% of the market in good times. In bad times, they wind up with something like 50% of the market when insurers are bailing and there's a crisis and so forth. People can't handle rate increases. Then private insurers raise the rates too high, and then everybody runs to SCIF. But then at a point right now, SCIF's at about 20%. There's sort of stability in the workers' comp market. But that's still huge. And their particular issue is pain management. They did a study where they found that 20% of the physicians were prescribing 80% of the OxyContin in the state of California for the workers' comp claims that they were paying for. They also have spotted a drug called Actiq, A-C-T-I-Q. And if you look it up on the FDA website, it basically says don't ever prescribe this to anybody who's not dying of cancer. That's how I recall the FDA's warning on it. It's being prescribed for, you know, chronic back pain and things like that in California, and SCIF's paying for it. So they would really like to talk to some prescribing physicians about what they're doing with OxyContin. Another thing that happens with OxyContin is people get hooked, and then SCIF has to pay the rehab to get them off the drug. So it's an exceptionally expensive area of healthcare cost for SCIF, and they want to do something about it. So we're working with them. Now, the way that they deliver healthcare is they contract with 4 medical groups to provide the actual healthcare for injured workers in California. So one of those 4 groups is known as Kaiser on the Job, and they are not Kaiser. They have a separate incorporation, a separate identity. They do not get the detailers that Kaiser has for its regular physicians. They do rent space in the Kaiser buildings around California, but they're separate. And so they need their own detailing. They have nothing going on with the main Kaiser plan. As I say there, they are providing medical care to many SCIF injured workers. They have 30 locations in California. You can go online and print out a map. What you will see basically is a large cluster around the Bay Area, another large cluster around Los Angeles, a third large cluster around San Diego. So they have a very extensive territory across the state. They have also committed to put a detailer out to go to these 30 locations and start talking about painkillers. They have chosen a physician who's going to the training in Boston this month to get started on academic detailing for the physicians that work for Kaiser on the job. As I say, that person's going to Boston. For the materials, SCIF has made, because it's not one of the areas where NORCAD is funded for producing materials, so SCIF has made a commitment to fund the production of the materials. So we'll have the materials paid for by SCIF, which would then make it available to the other three medical groups should they choose to also initiate academic detailing. But it'll immediately be available, of course, to Kaiser on the job, who's providing the detailer. So we think one doctor training at 30 locations is not a bad ratio. The locations are clustered somewhat together so that you can get in a car and, you know, hit most of the Bay Area locations within a day, and the same in L.A. and the same in San Diego. So a person, you know, flying up and down the coast on Southwest probably, you know, with a car in each city should be able to, you know, see folks several times a year without a great deal of difficulty. So that's going on. And then the third place we're working right now is CalPERS. That is the third largest health plan in the United States. They cover 1.3 million California state and local government workers. And they contract with Blue Cross. No, they contract with Blue Shield, and they contract with Kaiser for something like about 70% of their beneficiaries, but about 30% of their beneficiaries are in self-funded plans overseen by CalPERS. So CalPERS is paying for the drugs and setting up the formularies through its own PBM. So that's the area where CalPERS could have a direct effect on prescribing. And so what we're doing for them is a needs assessment. In fact, there's a call that's going to be made today, which I'm missing, between NORCAD and CalPERS to talk about the specs for the needs assessment. They're going to give us, they've already identified osteoarthritis as a problem area for sure, and then they've got several others which they want to identify. They might want to talk about antipsychotics. And so they're going to identify some areas where they see a potential need. They have a tremendous database. They have all kinds of clinical data alongside of the you know, normal sort of claims data. So I think we're going to be able to pull things like A1C ratings and readings and a lot of clinical indicators like that for the analysis. So the conversation today will be about specifically what areas would CalPERS like us to go into and what clinical and other kinds of data are available so that we can do this analysis. And then NORCAD, through its ARC funding, is going to perform the analysis. Based on that, we may come back to PERS in a few months with a report identifying some areas of needs as the needs assessment that I described before would do, and then we'll go from there. So that's basically what's going on in California. What I've gotten from this experience of 2011 is I do think things are changing. I've been talking about academic detailing for a few years now. I had that bill in 2009 that got killed, and I didn't get a response in the past that was nearly as favorable as I've gotten this year. This year, when I go into people at CalPERS and I say, well, you know, let me tell you about academic detailing, the door is open. All of a sudden, they, last year they seemed to be waxing their ears, and this year they hear. And they start asking questions. They want to know what to do next. I don't quite know what's happened, but some kind of a tipping point was crossed in the last year or so on this issue, because I'm feeling it in California. There's a lot of other places I know I could go already that I'm not going because, you know, we're just getting started with this, and we want to be sure that we do these first three things right before we bite off. And this is plenty. The people at NORCAD are like, okay, stop. You've got us three now. Let's just do these, and we'll see, you know, where we go from there. Because I've got others in mind, but we're going to work. work on these three first. So something's happened. I think certainly the funding from the Obama administration was extremely helpful. Having NORCAD funded made a big difference. It was very helpful to drop the word Harvard everywhere I went in California. You know, Harvard, Harvard, Harvard. And because then I would listen to them. You know, I would speak with a representative of one of these entities, and they would turn around, and I would hear them on the phone talking to a second tier of people with one of these entities, and then Harvard, Harvard, Harvard. So it worked as a sort of sales angle that there's this money and that Harvard's in. I think also, you know, the healthcare cost crisis, as enduring and as seemingly endless as it's been, I think has gotten somehow qualitatively worse in the last year or two. We've made some cuts in California healthcare programs that are quite amazing, quite unprecedented. We now have caps for drugs, caps for physician visits, things we would have never talked about seriously even a year ago. Now they've done them. Now there's, I think, like a 5 or 6 drug cap for the Medicaid program in California. That's it. And what's amazing, of course, to us is it could be the 5 or 6 wrong drugs. They don't even, you know which ones they've, you know, included with the cap. But that's the way the program's working right now. And so when we go to people and say, listen, you can't just slash like this. You've got to try something, you know, that's a little bit more scientific. We're getting in. So and CalPERS, too, I think that's part of what worked for us this year, was they're looking at really big cuts. They raised copays substantially under drugs this year. Now it's like $10 or $15 even for the preferred drugs for state employees in the good plans. So something's happened with the healthcare cost crisis, with the initiative of the Obama administration, that I think has changed the weather for academic detailing. The other observation I'd make, somebody said to me that if you're a for-profit corporation, you invest in profits, not savings. And I thought, that makes sense to me, because this is working basically selling to public insurers, because they have, I think, maybe a longer range perspective on their costs, more likely to see the value of savings, because there's a whole question, what happens in year one? In year one, you know, these plans put up an FTE, a full-time person, you know, make other expenditures. We don't know they'll see any money, you know, back in year one. The idea is by year two they will, and so you know, then there'll be a payoff. And it appears to me, this is my own impression, that public insurers are more likely to see this. And so we've been having. And another advantage of public insurers is that they are also publicly accountable. The CalPERS board has to, you know, meet monthly in front of anybody who wants to be there. So any policy they announce or any decision they make, they are wide open for all the public comment in California. If they displease people, health plan of San Joaquin, same thing. They have to meet under what we call the Brown Act publicly, regularly. So again, it's not like a private board meeting in a locked room on the 50th floor. These people have to meet out in the open where the public can have at them. And it may well be that it sensitizes public insurers more to the need to take this approach rather than benefit.